Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hey, hey, it's the Pretty Corrupt Podcast, your inside guide to celebrity scandals and the reality of reality TV. I'm Jordan Ross Myers, the man behind Twitter's notorious Don Gunvalson and Lee Rodswell. Along with my co-hosts, Stacey Noel Connor and Nate Safer, welcome to the Bravo Breakdown. Hola!
Hola, mi amigo!
We are... I don't want to butcher the language. I took 3 years of Espanol. But I can't do that Spanish lisp that they were like pulling off. España.
España, like you're in Barcelona.
Barcelona, no, I can't.
The Catalan lisp, Ibiza, yeah, Mallorca. Mm-hmm. You can't speak like Hilario Baldwin.
yeah. No. Oh my God. Fun fact, now that you brought her up, reality show, Girls Trip, idea, whatever, I do want Dorit Kemsley and Hilaria Baldwin together. Ooh, with their...
That'll be interesting.
They kind of have the same outlook on life when you've traveled the world.
You can speak whatever accent you want.
Yeah. But I guess since we're talking about Beverly Hills... They're finally wrapping up that trip to Spain this week.
Yeah. I don't think any of them enjoyed that Airbnb that that quote unquote Sutton got. Although this is the thing. I think it's because it's not that where I would think that place was pretty cool. You know what I mean? Because it's a little haunted. Mm-hmm. It's very unique. It's like, it's very interesting. It's old and all that stuff. They want something a little bit more like if it's old, they want more like a Tuscan villa style or like a nice, you know, palazzo in the, like Lake Como. They want to stay in George Clooney's place in Lake Como. That's what they want.
You remember like they did a few years ago, at least a few, when they went to France and they stayed at an amazing chateau.
Yeah.
I mean, this was like more... No, like it was not their style. These people live in LA where a 50-year-old house is an antique. That place was kind of janky. Like those old stone floors, things falling from the roof, like or the ceiling.
I mean, I would like that place. Do you know what I mean? Like it's fine for me. I just don't think it's fine for them per se.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this trip because I really don't think they liked it. The other women.
Okay, I want to beg to differ on one fact. Sorry to interrupt you, but we didn't talk about this last week. I think they liked two things about this trip. I think they liked the chef Storm and then Storm's father, because those women, especially, I have seen Garcelle in a new light. Her eyes were just so, she was flirting with it. It had me cackling because she would just like give this look of like, oh, really? She was turning it on. Like, I mean, she wanted Storm's father so badly and I was here for it. I really wanted to like find out later on that yes, she did hook up with Storm's dad.
Erica didn't stand a chance.
No.
When they were joking. I was like, oh, no, Garcelle was going to get that. Mm-hmm. Sutton joked like she was into them. And she's like, no, Garcelle, is going to, yeah.
I mean, Garcelle's face, just the way that she talked. I mean, it was just a lesson in flirting and just seduction, in a sense of like, I'm not going to be too obvious yet. I'm going to be obvious about it.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And I loved it. I loved every second. So sorry. So those are the two things that they loved about this trip. Mm-hmm. Well, that Garcelle loved about this trip, and I'm here for it.
Overall, though, my thinking is, here's what this trip reminded me of, and this is why I think they were miserable. Not miserable. It wasn't like a nightmare trip. We have to remember, they're coming off from last season, Aspen. Mm-hmm. Anything is more positive than that experience. So it wasn't a horrible trip, this one to Spain. But what it reminded me of was when Orange County went to Puerto Vallarta, which they've done a bunch of times. But this time it was Heather Dubrow leading the trip. Mm-hmm. And it was Heather Dubrow who wanted to show them the culture and take them to that fancy restaurant, Café des Artistes. And all the women wanted to do was go to Andalés. Also, one other thing that Sutton may not have been aware of is, besides the other housewives' disinterest in her activities, is also that transfer of Merce's ashes, rest in peace, from the baggie to the mirrored clutch looked like they were pouring out an eight ball. It was a little more Scarface.
Well, I mean, some of the ladies did end up inhaling him, so, you know. Again, can we stop throwing ashes into the sea against the wind? Like, come on. I mean, I was watching the after show, and the ladies were talking about how the wind was completely calm until the moment that they threw the ashes. And then all of a sudden this like gust of wind blew up. And I was like, you've got to be, when they all said that, I was like, well, that is fascinating. Again, please just I think one should spread ashes. Andy Dufresne style in the Shawshank Redemption, you know, just put a little bit of ashes in your pants, in a hole in your pants pocket, and just walk around and just like loosely shake people's ashes into the ground wherever you are. You know what I mean? That's what you should do. So, yeah. I mean, there has been other Beverly Hills drama, everybody speculating if Morgan and Kyle, everybody is speculating that they broke up even though they're not quote unquote together, yada, yada. Because of social media. What do you think? What do you know?
Well, I do know that Kyle was in Nashville with Morgan last weekend. So I don't think they've broken up. I don't. I don't know what that purge was. My theory is that they're addicted to the drama, and that whole social media purge is just, they're hooked on people speculating. Mm-hmm. And like, we're almost on the cusp, the verge of them coming out or together, however you want to say it. I feel like it is real. And just when she's on the edge of finally just admitting it, they have to do the sneaky, dramatic high school move, unfriend each other, remove photos, and let us. It's very MySpace era drama.
Do you think maybe they were getting overshadowed by Taylor and Kelsey too much? So it's like, bring a little back. I mean,
because there have been moments where like, kind of like Kyle and Morgan are the most talked about couple in the country.
Right. Well, now they're going to get more overshadowed because it looks like Larsa and Marcus. So Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan have broken up. Because today, she's unfollowed him on Instagram and then deleted pretty much most of her content with him from her Instagram. But then he was still following her for a while. And then I think about an hour or so later, I might have the timeline a little bit, but because people kept checking to see if he was still following. Then next thing you know, he's not following her and he's deleted some stuff. And then he's posting up a story that he's watching the Super Bowl with his father, his family. And so he's not with her. And then
Michael a bunch of people was against it.
Yeah, exactly.
Michael was not supportive.
No. And this is a funny thing about that post. And a lot of people are like dismayed, not because they broke up, but because Michael Jordan has like a very small TV screen. They're like, he's watching television on a 12-inch TV screen. But I don't know. I mean, it would surprise me more if Morgan and Kyle broke up than Larsa and Marcus. Like, Larsa and Marcus breaking up, absolutely, I believe that. Like, Morgan and Kyle, not so much, because also they've also denied that they were together. So, you know, what's there to break up then?
I mean, they've never fully answered. They've never fully answered. I mean, I've said before, I did meet Morgan briefly, you know, like at a party. She was there with Kyle, completely pleasant, very brief interaction. I said hi and stuff. There was no PDA for me to like report, but obviously they were together. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know what else to say about that. Look, she's been taking her around to meet the family. They've had those lunches and birthdays and yeah. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, there's a show that you've been sleeping on. I know, because I'm trying to get you to branch out to watch more Bravo shows, not just your precious Beverly Hills all the time. But Southern Hospitality, which is like VPR in Charleston, is great. And it's like, it's the offshoot of Southern Charm, just like VPR is the offshoot of Beverly Hills, yada, yada. But like, it's like what VPR used to be, with like the young kids working, you know, at a bar and all of that stuff. And so I just am kind of like, if you're not watching this show, you should be watching it, because VPR is getting older. I'm still into VPR. It's just changed. Everything changes because people get older and everything like that. So if you've been missing that like young vitality of like, what the fuck is happening to these people that own houses and now live in the Valley, like, go watch Southern Hospitality.
Is there like a baseline? You'll have people with Southern Hospitality. Is it like, not accusing anyone or everyone on VPR early days, but is there the whole undercurrent of Adderall, coke, drug use?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely lots of alcohol being consumed, lots of cheating, sleeping with other people, accusations of, you know, cheating, things like that, you know, coworkers hooking up with each other, all of that stuff. Yeah. And also you have like this one main character, Maddie, who, she's actually sober. She's a recovering addict. And she has this horrible boyfriend who has cheated on her in the past, and then she got back together with him, and then he's cheated on her again. But now he has completely gaslit her so well into thinking that he did not cheat on her, and that all of her friends are out to get her. Like, literally, these are like words that she said, that like, they're trying to destroy her life and like, they're out to get her. And I was like, honey, you're not that important. Like, this main character energy that you have, it's only for the show. It's actually not in your real life. Like, there's maybe some people are a little mad at you for some stuff, but they actually do care about you. And this boyfriend does not care about you. He only cares about controlling you, and everybody else can see it. Everybody else can see it, but her. And it's really, it's frustrating and sad. And then you're just like, well, it's a TV show. Yeah. People realize it eventually.
You know, they kind of missed a naming opportunity there. I guess they were going for making an offshoot of Southern Charms, the Southern Hospitality. But since it is a sister show really to Vanderpump Rules, I'm looking at her name, Lava. They could have done Bonaparte Rules, and it would have been BPR.
That would have been great. I love Lava too. She's so great. I want to be friends with her.
Or, and they could call her LBP. Wait. Yeah, they can call her LBP. Now I'm just like reaching for ways to make it more like, so I could process it.
Yeah. There you go. It is. It's LBP. LBP at the Southern Hospitality. Let's do it. Let's do it. Well, okay, let's actually talk about LVP, not really LVP, but let's talk about VPR, pump rules.
Yeah, pump rules this week.
You did watch it.
I did the full thing. I know it's an ongoing issue for me that I have trouble focusing on shows that aren't Beverly Hills, particularly shows that aren't about like toxic luxury and chaotic wealth. So I watched a show with the regular, no, I'm joking. Elites are in the valley, like me.
Yep. I mean, there's toxicity for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It's just like, it's kind of like, what's it called? Sometimes things get busy and it's like, I guess Sophie's Choice or what's that movie? The Good Son. Like I'm holding both LA based shows off the cliff and I could only save one. So it's all, but I got through both episodes, Beverly Hills and Pump Rules. So
I'm so proud of you. I never thought you could change and you have. Oh my God. They say never try to change a man, but hey, here's proof.
So what did you think about this?
Well, this one was interesting because we finally really have Tom Sandoval on it because, you know, he really wasn't in the first one till the very end. So we see kind of how their like living situation works out, how his assistant is in the middle of everything. She's no longer his assistant, though. She has left him, though, currently. But, you know, there's a lot of people who are like, you know, including Lala, who was like, Ariana, just like let him have the party. And I was like, I'm team Ariana all the way. Be petty, girl. Just be petty. But also I totally understand
that part.
I totally understand what she's saying of like, when you're with somebody, you put up with their messes because you love them and you care about them. And because also they put up with your messes. But when they fucked everything up and when they really shat on you, like, you don't want to clean up their messes or have to deal with their messes anymore. So she's like, no, I don't have to deal with your fucking mess. Also, like, if he has the money to put her up in a really nice hotel for the night, then why doesn't he have the money to have his birthday party someplace else?
That's a good point.
Like, let's get real there, here.
I mean, I was trying to figure out.
Well, he may not have access to Schwartz and Sandy's, but he has access to Tom Tom. So it's like, you know.
This may have been a production idea, I think, to force you to figure out, because people have had a lot of questions about how they cohabitate with this no contact policy and how they kind of manage to live in a house and never see or speak to each other. Because I know that I was thinking about when she finally compromised and he came back, you know, she's over having a smoothie with Lala and then she gets a text. He's willing to limit the people and end it at midnight. I felt like that was a compromise negotiated by production for filming's sake. Because why couldn't he have it elsewhere?
Well, because he's being a dick. But this thing I listened to, because his ex-assistant Anne has a podcast now, and I was listening to it before we got on to this and I didn't finish it all, but she was talking about how, like, in that scene she did purposely text Ariana real quickly before he could kind of like dictate to her exactly what to say, because apparently that's what would happen, and like, and then it would come off kind of rude and mean, and she didn't want it. She wanted to try to, like, she was like, as a kid of divorced parents and like trying to negotiate like that whole thing, she's like, I kind of know like how to deal with this stuff. So she's like, that's what I was doing. So that's why she was like, oh, it's kind of too quick. So the idea to have the party at his place may have been a production concept there, but also I could also just see him being a dick about that.
Yeah.
Being like, well, it's my house. I should be able to have a party here.
Well, like, when she came for the compromise.
And then his friend's like, she's had friends over.
Yeah. I did notice, and this is because, like, I really don't root for either of them. Sandoval obviously is a pile of garbage. I don't think Ariana's a saint. I've never sat, you know, some people are like, I don't relate to her.
What?
But
what?
So I really, to be honest, I really don't care how it works for either, because I don't feel bad for either of them too much. But I will say there was something Ariana said where I was like, she is a lot more considerate than him. Which is, she said she's been spending a lot when her boyfriend comes into town and they stay at a hotel. And I'm like, so that's where I was. And that wasn't some like argument. That was just, it slipped into the conversation casually. And then I started tracking back to him saying, oh, I'll throw you in a hotel. Well, no, she does that on her own. So I get it. She does have a say. I just don't know how.
Well, you know how he's been saying how he because later on he's talking with Tom and he's talking about how he had to pay all the bills because Ariana hadn't been paying the bills in 8 months and he's moving money around. That's why he had to go on tour and he had to go and do this and like making excuses for stuff. Watching the VPR after show, basically, I highly recommend everybody watch Beverly Hills after show and Pump Rules after show because you get just more information behind the scenes. But so Ariana talks a little bit more about their financial setup, about how they basically had a joint account and they would always put money into that joint account and then all their bills would get paid out of that joint account. And then things changed when they got this like new home equity loan in order to help pay for Schwartz and Sandy's, which she is on. And apparently, because it was a few days since I watched it, basically, that money started coming out of his account, and so she would just write him a check for the loans, for the mortgage, and for that. And then she found out, though, after they broke up, that he was charging her a higher amount that she actually owed him. So then that's why she was like, "I want receipts. I want to know exactly, like, give me copies of bills, give me, you know, an itemized bill, an itemized receipt." And she's basically asked him for months and months, but she's like, "I'm not going to pay you until you give me a breakdown." And so he's willing to go around throwing her under the bus saying she's not paying bills, yada, 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 which is true, but she's only not paying them because you're not telling her what she owes you. And she's like, I'm not going to trust him and just give him money willy-nilly because he says so.
He's not willing to provide invoices or receipts or, because it's really easy. I whip up invoices in like 5 minutes for free.
And everything's online. Like he could just easily like do, or he could have his assistant make an Excel spreadsheet and like do all this stuff like for him, but he doesn't do it. So it's like, okay, if you've already cheated on me for months, having sex with somebody else and lying about it, I'm really not going to trust you with stuff. But then I also find out that you've been cheating me out of money, saying I owe you more money than I actually owed you. Well, you've lied to me twice there. I'm not going to lie. You're not going to deal with this another time. So I'm with her on that.
Do you think that he did that deliberately instead of refusing to invoice her? He deliberately refused to invoice her so that she wouldn't pay him so that they could enter filming with him having the ammo that she owes him money.
100%. 100%. To make him look like a victim. He needs to look like a victim. I mean, look, when I kicked my ex out of our house, he took every opportunity to try to make himself look like a victim. He owed me a bunch of money. And of course, his first thing is like, "Well, I don't have that money." And I was like, "Then you write me 4 checks and backdate them, postdate them to these amounts. I will only, you know, cash them at these intervals. But like, this is it." And then also it was like, he needed to get his stuff out of my place. And then it was like, "Well, I don't have a car and I don't have this and I don't have that." That's not my fault. And some of my friends were like, "Why don't you just pack up his shit and like have it?" I go, "I did everything for him. I like made his life so much easier. I moved us out of his old place into this house. I've done all of this stuff. He messed this thing up. I'm not packing up his shit." I was like, I don't even want to throw his shit on the lawn and light it on fire, waiting to exhale style. That's too much energy for me. So I get where she's coming from. And I think there's a lot of women who, like me, probably get where she's coming from. It's like, when you've dated somebody who's has, I'm just going to say, narcissistic tendencies, you're exhausted. So once you finally figure out that all these problems that they've been saying were you during the relationship, you finally realize they're not you and it's all been a lie and they've all been like, they've been lying to you this entire time. You're like, well, it's not my fault. And I don't, okay, I'm done then. I'm done. I'm absolutely done. So I absolutely understand. I'm done. I'm not going to let you run roughshod over me anymore. I'm not giving in to this like covert, you know, or you know, vulnerable narcissism type of bullshit that you've got going on. Not doing it anymore. So I 100% understand where she's coming from. So yeah.
I enjoyed his narcissism on display. It's a really good tell sign with him. And he's done it for years and he's done it with his past relationships and he did it at the reunion and he did it at the sit down with James. Mm-hmm. So I wish we had like a projector so I could show. It's the way he speaks. It's his hand. When James confronted him, they had that sit down so Sandoval could apologize. And of course, Sandoval turns it back to, well, 10 years ago, you did this. I don't know. I'm going to have to screenshot it and put it up. We have a tweet kind of like that up today on PCP where it's this face he makes.
Yeah.
And the way he speaks, I can't do it, but it's like, oh, well, and he looks like a deer caught mm-hmm. in headlights. And it's not because he's caught off guard. It's because he's trying to look like an innocent child.
Yes.
And he does this.
It's this poor me type of thing. Like, oh my gosh, you wounded me so badly here. You wounded me 10 years ago, even though it's been 10 years. We've already talked about this out privately off camera. I've forgiven you. You've forgiven me. We've all been like through this shit already. And then you're going to bring it up. Now I'm going to like throw it back in your face. Like, absolutely not. And that's like, yeah, it's every little thing. Like, I mean, the way that he was like manipulating Tom Schwartz in their little sit down. I mean, Tom Schwartz was kind of holding his own for a bit. I was a little bit proud of him, but then, you know, I've seen stuff since then. I'm like, no, dude, you're still whipped by this guy. But, but you know, it just all this, like trying to justify everything.
He blinks a lot.
He does.
Sandoval, one of his tells is he blinks a lot and blinks slowly. I wish we need to just like get that scene so I could do. I just, when he lapsed into that, I was like, oh my God, he's been doing this for years. Now it's been so long, I can identify just, I didn't even have to hear him speak. I knew by the physical mm-hmm. signs he's about to lie and make it himself mm-hmm. the victim. Yep. So I did like, though, I didn't really like, couldn't believe his confessional look. That green St. John Ness ladies jacket.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, no.
It's kind of like Masters jacket, like from the golf thing, but it looks kind of like I don't know if you know, like mm-hmm. St. John Ness. It's kind of like Chanel. It says proper ladies mm-hmm. luncheon realtor style. And I don't know if he thinks it's cool, if he got it from a thrift store, but it's like a 90.
He probably paid a pretty horrible. Penny for
looks
that.
It's ridiculous.
And he's very much, it's very it's much, like, look at me, look at me, look at me. He's got a grandiosity about him. He always has had that mm-hmm. grandiosity since he was shaving his forehead and putting on makeup the first season. I'm cool. You know, I'm all about like men keeping it clean and keeping it good. And where's the makeup? I don't give a shit. But the way he did it, like, I was just like, whoa, man, that's a lot.
You know what was interesting too about this episode is the first time it really hit me, because last season, obviously the focus was on Scandoval. So certain people got pushed to the side, but it was this episode where it hit me how little it's not Vanderpump's show anymore. It really, she popped up and I'd forgotten that she was still on it mm-hmm. and it just seemed out of place. Like the show is, I mean, there's been so much drama and it's been on so long. I don't know when Vanderpump popped in to, you know, say goodbye to Pump or whatever. It was kind of like, oh yeah, she's on the show still. And oh my God, this is her show. But
it's not her show. It's just her name on that show. That's it. So, yeah.
Yeah. It was just, it really showed me, like, with Housewives, I feel Beverly Hills has moved on. And this show, it's just evolved so much. It just caught me off guard. She used to be the centerpiece mm-hmm. of Bravo. And I was kind of like, oh, yeah, LVP, yep. Hey.
Yep.
It felt kind of forced with everything else going on. Like, they contractually owed her 3 minutes per episode.
Right. They contractually owed to, like, show the demise of her least popular establishment.
Yeah.
Like, who cares mm-hmm. about Pump? All right, whatever.
Well, you know what would help us avoid our demise? If you guys could rate, subscribe, review, and follow. That's right. Head on over to Pretty Corrupt Podcasts on Instagram and TikTok. And on Twitter, that's Pretty Corrupt One. Of course, on all those accounts, you'll find links to our own personal ones, Stacey's, Nate's, and mine, where you can follow our lives of chaos and delusion. And of course, share PCP with family, friends, enemies, landlords, exes, your assistant, your ex's assistant, whoever you want to abuse or mm-hmm. gift this to. So on that note, adios. 'Cause